All right, welcome to this month's podcast of the Christian Walk with Christ. We're going to go right into prayer, then the message, and then closing prayer. If you want the full fellowship with the CWWC Christian group, you can go to my YouTube page, and that's Stirred Up, spelled the same way. Again, if you want to join the group, that's Committed Walk with Christ, plus subscribe at groups.io. Put a hyphen between each and a plus right before the subscribe sign. Enjoy the show.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in praise and worship and grace and mercy and all the attention above that you have to give to us. We thank you in advance for giving us the wisdom and to understand your words and get all the knowledge that we can from you. And we ask that you put anyone in your arms for the love and care that we all yearn for. And we ask you in the mighty powerful name to just lift us up into your presence. And we thank you in advance in that mighty powerful name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you for that.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Welcome to everybody.
Anyway, I'll start now with this reading. And so, of course, the Pharisees are doing their regular thing about grumbling about what Jesus has to say. And Jesus challenges a lot. You know, sometimes we do have to do that. And certainly Jesus does, because people don't always think that Jesus, especially in his day when he was alive on earth, people didn't think that he was a particularly good Jew. And so he definitely had his challenges, and these are examples of it. And of course, in Luke, we're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, where Jesus would be put to death. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in Luke's story at this time. And so he is really being tested, and he knows that his time is coming close to an end on earth. And I don't know about you, but that would be a burden to bear. And I think that only God could bear it as graciously as Jesus does. So I will begin. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so I know when I read that, I wondered about the other 99 sheep, though. Did they stay in one place when the shepherd was looking for the sheep? So, but it doesn't matter, because the sheep was found and he rejoiced. And sheep wander off sometimes, and if they aren't directed, they'll walk right off a cliff, and sometimes the other sheep will follow them, so it's not a good plan to let the one that's lost go. So you have to hunt for the sheep until you find it. And I think of the sheep a little bit as a lamb and the shepherd God carrying it in his big loving arms and cradling it and helping it to feel secure again after it was lost. And so it's a really neat story. And it's worth the rejoicing, because every time a Christian is saved, I mean, every time a person repents of their sins, they will they are to be rejoiced. And I know that many of us have had that experience. And the next story is, what woman, Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I guess it's kind of the same story. And I think about the woman as being somebody who was really poor, and every little coin made a big difference to her. And when she lost it, she couldn't imagine how she was going to manage if that one little coin was gone. And she was sweeping and praying that God would help her find that coin. And who knows, maybe she was in a situation where she was going to be in trouble if her spouse found out she'd lost the coin. I don't know about you, but I've had that kind of thing happen to me before. And it's not always just because it's a material thing. It's just that we have to have material things to keep going. And so it's important. But when she found the coin, she rejoiced, and rightfully so, because it meant that God had provided that coin for her so that she would have enough, whereas maybe she wouldn't have had enough before. And I love the thought of the angels rejoicing because I have repented, or you have repented. And I think that we often have to repent, because there's so many things that get in the way of our being the best we could be. That's why God sent Jesus to us, and Jesus as part of God came as man to walk among us. And so we need to continue to walk with Jesus, because Jesus knows that it's hard for us. And mostly we can't make it without God's help. And so then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the elder son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath delivered thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and thou, all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. And when you read the story, you know that the father represents God. And you can imagine that every time that we walk astray, God must grieve for us. I imagine this father looking out the window every day, searching the road in hopes that the son will return, and grieving mightily for the son that whom he raised and tried to make into a good citizen, and knowing that the son had gone off to do riotous living with people in other parts. I imagine the son as a person who didn't really much like living out there in the country and wanted to go into the city and spread his wings and have some adventure. And haven't we all been like that at some time or another? Wanted to do something particularly that our parents would rather we never did. And so we went off and did that thing. And it was kind of fun for a while. And then our circumstances changed. Maybe not quite in the same way this young man's circumstances changed, but they changed nevertheless. And then the son, now he was hungry, out in the fields feeding swine. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that the young man had a better life living with his father, even if it wasn't all he would have liked it to be at the time. And so he came to his senses. He grew up maybe just enough to realize that he should go back. I don't know if the younger son went back and was manipulating, or if he really came to his senses, but I would like to think he really did. And that when his father greeted him and held him securely in his arms and praised the Lord for bringing him back, I would venture a guess that he changed, that he felt safe, and that he understood that his father was his salvation. And he did tell his father he was willing to be a servant, but he was completely forgiven. The older son was angry, and I can imagine that too, can't you? After all those years of serving his father, some versions of the Bible say he was enslaved all those years to his father. Well, I can imagine my kids saying that to me too, actually. But I think, you know, I'd like to think that as he got older, he saw things differently, because his father was right. What was dead was alive again, and what was lost was found. And he himself could be whole again because his son was back, and perhaps a better person as a result of his experience. And so I hope we don't hear the rest of the story, but we can imagine that maybe for a while the brothers weren't on speaking terms, because you know how families are. But maybe at some point the older son realized that this was his brother, and his father was a person who was quite capable, was very capable of forgiveness. And maybe he respected and loved his father enough to understand the good involved in that. Maybe at some point he had a family of his own and experienced some of the same things. And so, but the thing about this is that I believe that this story tells me what a marvelous, marvelous God we have. He lets us go out and spread our wings and try to find our way. And then when we realize that we can't find our way without him, he guides us back home. And he does it over and over again if we just call on him to do that. And so I just pray to God that as we continue our journey, each time that we slip, we don't get discouraged, but we come back even better than we were before. And praise God, we will make it through and be the best we can be. Amen. And so we do prayers, is that?
All right. That was a great message, especially Thanks. The fact that it lined up with what we all talked about today, walking away from Christ and coming back. You know, he calls his sheep and, you know, we know his voice. And I've been reading that Bible in the Year plan that Holly talked about and others were talking about. And that definitely touches on a lot. It says that a lot, that if we don't listen, we're not going to hear his voice. Sometimes you just have to take back, get in a quiet place, like he says, you know, submit to his word and let him talk to you. Because if you ain't listening, he ain't going to talk to you.
Yes, and there's a place where Jesus says, my sheep know me and they know because they know my voice. And I think we all do, but sometimes we aren't listening, kind of like we don't always listen to our parents. Or whatever, you know, most of us are past that point, but
kind of how the Israelites, like I tell my kids all the time, you guys are just as hard headed as the Israelites was because they were hard headed for 40 years, 40 of them. So,
I don't, can you believe that?
My goodness.
And so, I think I'll do that when I finish the Bible plan I'm doing now. I think I was sorry I was doing this one when you invited me to do that one, but I'd gotten far enough into it that I thought I would see it through and then do that one later.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's a great plan. And for anybody who's invited me to a plan that I've declined, I'm sorry, but I already had like five or six of them going and I didn't want to fall behind on any of the other ones. But keep on inviting me and I'll accept the ones that I can.
Okay. Dear Lord, I thank you for this gathering that we've had this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can still have the freedom to fellowship and study your word and pray. And I thank you for Cindy's courage and that she's accepted the call to become an ordained pastor. And I pray that you'll be with each of us during this coming month till we meet again. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for all that you've done to help us. And thank you, Lord, for providing for each and every need for all of us too, Lord. Amen.
You did.